Aye.
Jesus Christ, the Savior, the only one who lives. My God, Savior, of soul and liberty. Number 211.
Oh, Jesus Christ, the Savior, we only look to thee. Is in thy love and favor our souls find liberty.
Of all that belonged to him
his bow, his sword, his girdle. He gave everything to David. David, if you can defeat the giant, you can certainly look after my concerns down here. It was a wonderful display of love. I don't believe that Jonathan's love ever faltered. Although he did not follow David in the path of rejection, that name that was left out in the catalog of David's mighty men very well could have been Jonathan. He had faith in David, but perhaps we know that he missed something. He missed reigning with David. No. His body was nailed to the wall of Bethshan by the Philistines. He really, unfortunately, had an ignominious death. But he was sure that he would reign with David. I'm going to be next to you. He had confidence that David was going to be king. He was the rightful king. But he didn't follow him in the path of rejection. He missed something very important. He missed the reward of reigning with David. Brethren, to apply it, we follow a rejected Christ, not a popular Christ. The path of separation, gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, is not a popular path. And the test is going to come in your life and in mine. Why are you gathered where you are? The second character, Ittai, you'll remember in the 15th chapter, I think it is. And David said to him, "Wherefore goest thou with us, Ittai?" Maybe for the sake of the young people, we should actually look at the verse there, 2 Samuel 15, if I can find it. Second Samuel 15:22, and David said to Ittai, "Go and pass over." And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men, and all the little ones that were with him. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over. The brook Kidron. And all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. 21. As the Lord liveth, and as my Lord the King liveth, surely in the place, what place my Lord the King shall be, whether in life, whether in death or life, even there also shall my servant be. 20. Wherefore whereas thou comest but yesterday, wherefore goest thou, 19, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place, and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Also are we strangers and exiles. But David asked him that question, "Wherefore goest thou also with us?" I'm going to ask that question to each one of us here tonight. Wherefore goest thou with us? There's many popular groups of believers all around us that we could associate with much more activity, much more fellowship, we might say, energy in the gospel. I'm not condemning that. Remember, Joshua came to David and he said, "There are two men that are prophesying in the camp. Moses, forbid them, my Lord. Forbid them." And we look around and we see much activity
in the town. Brazil, that I'm more familiar with, don't think it's bereft of evangelism. Far from it. Some of the halls in Sao Paulo, if they hold one person, they hold 5,000. These are evangelical denominations, and there's many of them. But the path of separation is not going to be a popular path. Wherefore goest thou also with us? David could have said, Ittai, it's not going to be an easy path. There's going to be frustrations. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be disappointments in the path. Are you willing to continue with those who are on divine ground according to the Word of God? I'm studying in Ottawa, Mark chapter 14. The question rose, can we take the Lord's Supper at a sectarian table? Mr. Kelly says no. Some do not agree with that. But remember, young people, you have a marvelous privilege of being gathered to the Lord's name here. I've been in many countries and I've met many groups of Christians, lovely Christians, but they were not on the ground of the truth. They were not gathered according to Scripture, according to the revealed mind of God for us in this day and age. The apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. Man's table, we have them all around us in Brazil, here. Sectarian tables. You've not noticed recently Peter's confession of the Lord. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. John chapter 6, I think it is. Not getting to my subject, so I must hasten on here. You know, after Peter's marvelous confession here, in John chapter 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. This spake he of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. You know, that was a beautiful confession on the part of Peter. I would have rejoiced to hear him make such a bold and loving declaration here, confession. But the Lord did not compliment him. Excuse the word. The Lord did not praise Peter for these words. It seems rather strange that the Lord didn't commend him for what he said. What did the Lord say? Behold, he said, have not I chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil? In other words, he said, Peter, if your eyes are upon me, don't look around because there's another disappointment ahead. Another disappointment ahead. And so David, as he fled there from Absalom, the rebel who had usurped the throne and was ruling in all his glory there in Jerusalem, Ittai says, I want to be with you, David. I know there's going to be difficulties. David could say to him, we haven't much to offer you, Ittai. nothing but suffering and rejection. Are you willing to come? And it, I said, I want to be where you are, David. I don't care if it's going to be a hard path. I want to be where you are. His heart was right. Is that our language? We want to be where the Lord is, regardless of how difficult it might be or how small it, things are becoming smaller all the time. I got up here with the intention of speaking on Mephibosheth. I haven't got to him yet. 2 Samuel. We all know the story of Mephibosheth. Perhaps we don't need to go into the background of it. 2 Samuel 19. 24. I'll just give you the background for the young people. You know, Mephibosheth was the grandson of Saul. He was actually the heir to the throne. And in the history, David, in one of his encounters or wars, he was coming to the area where Mephibosheth lived. He was just a boy, 4 or 5 years of age, perhaps. And his nurse, knowing that David was going to make an attack, she said, I'm going to get this child out of the way. He's the heir to the throne. Certainly David will execute vengeance upon him and take his life. And she picked him up to escape from David, the one who had come to bring blessing. But she didn't know the heart of David. Too bad that Jonathan had committed himself to his son, to a nurse that didn't know the heart of David. But she picked him up, and as she ran, you know the story, she dropped him, and he was laying on his feet the rest of his life. Just like you and me. We're lame on our feet. We were strangers and foreigners. We have nothing to stand upon. Guilty sinners. Worthy of judgment. And the wrath of God. Worthy of punishment. Every one of us. Like Mephibosheth. A dead dog. Dead in trespasses and sins, as Ephesians tells us. That's you and I. We're no better. But Mephibosheth, as he was called from the region of Lodibar, place of no pasture, no doubt he trembled. David, the heir to the throne, now he's ruling. Now his enemies have been put down. What does he want with me? And no doubt the carriages were there. And the messenger from David himself, come, Mephibosheth, the king has called you. He couldn't return back, he couldn't deny it. He had to come. And I think he came trembling. You know the story. As he fell down on his face before David, thinking that judgment might at any moment fall upon him, David said, be of good comfort. I'm going to show you the kindness of God. Sovereign grace came into that poor boy's life. And he bowed himself in worship. And when he saw the grace of God displayed in David, his heart was won. And Mephibosheth, to the very end, was loyal. And so, he was at the king's table. He'd been at the king's table this morning. And he had fellowship with David. There he was at every meal, Mephibosheth, with the royal robe. His lame feet were under the table. But he was enjoying the company of David. At every meal, he was there. And David even gave him servants. He richly rewarded him. But now the time has come when David is a fugitive. He's in captivity. He had to flee from Jerusalem. His life was in danger. And Mephibosheth wanted to go with him. But he couldn't. He was lame on both his feet. His servant Ziba was a rogue, and he slandered the name of Mephibosheth to David and said, "Oh, he's waiting. Now is his opportunity to get the kingdom back." A lie. Positive lie. But now we have David returning. 24. 2 Samuel 19, 24. Just a few remarks. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, "Wherefore wentest thou not with me, Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. And for thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he has slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes." Well, I'm very touched by the attitude of Mephibosheth here. It moves my heart. Here he was, surrounded by those that had no love for him. They were praising and glorying in this usurper, Absalom. He had no part whatsoever in that scene, in all that adulation, and all that merriment that was going on. Praising Absalom, he was a mourner. Everyone in Jerusalem knew that Mephibosheth was loyal and true to David. He didn't shave, he didn't change his clothes. Anything wrong in that? He did not want to appeal to Absalom. He didn't want to appeal to the world. They knew that he was waiting for something. He was waiting for the one he loved, the one who was absent from Jerusalem at that time, in reproach and dishonor. Sovereign, David, was in reproach and a captive, you might say. But he's returned now. And what did Mephibosheth look forward to? Well, there's two things you might notice in his life here. He didn't make himself attractive to the people of Jerusalem. He didn't appeal to them. You know, Mr. Darby says that's where worldliness begins. When we start to appeal to the world and try to get their favor and have their approbation and approval, that's where worldliness begins. Why did I buy this car or this house? That I want to show others that I had means and that I was in the upper class and so on. No. If I'm true to the Lord, those things that I purchase, I do it for the honor and glory of Christ. I use my home to have the saints of God in and encourage them. I use my car to pick up children for Sunday school. I don't use it for my own pleasure. I don't try to appeal to the world. This is the case with Mephibosheth. He was completely separate from the world. And brethren, we are called upon to be in separation from this present evil world. It's under judgment. We're just on the threshold of the Lord's return. Are we going to be like Lot, living for present advantage, lifting up our eyes no further than the horizons of this world? That's what Lot did. He nearly lost his life. He lost his family. Worldly minded man, a saved soul, but to meet Lot in the glory, lost life. Is that the kind of end that you want in your life? Are you going to take your path and identify with a rejected Christ? There'll be a reward for that. If you stay with those who, in much weakness, remain in the center where the name of the Lord is, where His word is honored, where the Lord's approval means more than anything to the heart, where His lordship is owned, will be a reward for that. You sisters who attend the meetings faithfully and don't take part, that would be disobedience to the word. But every thought that you have upon the name of the Lord, every thought this morning that you had about Christ, men or women, is recorded in the annals of eternity, in the book of remembrance. It's going to be opened someday. It's going to be opened. And there, my life, how I have lived today, yesterday, as our brother Robert brought before us, it will all be manifest. And there will be rewards given. Well, many times we are told reward is not the motive. And that is true. The motive for serving the Lord is to bring honor to Him, to serve His people, to preach the gospel to the unsaved round about us. How often we neglect that? That's a service for the Lord that is precious. And lost my train of thought now. Anyway, those things will be rewarded in that coming day. Rewards are for the kingdom. You will have your place in the kingdom, millennium, according to your walk down here. But I think the reward goes on into the eternal state, maybe not the position. But coming back to Mephibosheth, he didn't make himself attractive to the world. You know, in Romans chapter 12, yield your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And in Romans 12, he doesn't mention a lot of worldly things, dress or manner of life or anything. Because he's speaking about the heart. It's where your heart is that will determine your manner of life. If your heart, like Mephibosheth, is with your absent Lord, Mephibosheth was bearing the reproach here. When David was away, he was in an environment that had no room for David. And we're in that environment now, brethren. The world is becoming more difficult all the time, more opposed to Christ. Every day, the standard of morality has plummeted to an all-time low, I would think. Common law living is rampant here in Canada, in Brazil too, but I don't want to speak about that. One other thing. Mephibosheth was slandered by Ziba, spoken about dishonestly, deceitfully. Ziba was a rogue. And as we read here, 27, and have slandered thy servant unto my lord the king, but my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes, for all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right, therefore, have I yet to cry any more unto the king? If we don't have any rights down here, let us not agitate to have our rights in this world. That's not our position. But anyway, in the case of Mephibosheth, the king said unto him, why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king is come again in peace unto his own house. And Ziba said, I'll leave those things with the Lord. I know I've been slandered, but everything will be put right when the Lord returns. Have you had a difficult time? You've been misunderstood. You've been accused. I've had that in my life. Every one of us have. You say, I want to get even with that brother for the way in which he dealt with me. Leave it to the judgment seat of Christ. What is it that Mephibosheth said? When David comes back, everything will be set right. When the Lord comes back, brethren, everything is going to be set right. Those misunderstandings, those hard speeches that have hurt us like a sword, let us leave it with the Lord, because he's going to set everything right. Mary anointed the Lord with that precious ointment, and it filled the house with the odor. The disciples spoke against her. We don't hear that Mary said a word. She left it with the Lord. The Lord spoke on her behalf wonderfully wherever the gospel shall be preached in this whole world. This act that this woman hath done will be spoken of as a memorial to her. This morning you poured out your thanksgiving to the Lord like a sweet savor, and that's recorded in the annals of eternity. But Mary didn't defend herself. She was misunderstood, spoken unkindly about, or criticized. She left it with the Lord, and the Lord has the record straight. Someday, as our brother mentioned, at the judgment seat of Christ, everything will come out. Our whole lives will be manifest. May we be like Mephibosheth. May we be like Ittai. And continue on in the path of love for the Lord. Don't try to love him more than you do. Sit down and contemplate his love to you. And the patience of hope we have in the Mephibosheth. You know, the world, they speak about having patience, but they wait so long and then their patience is exhausted because things don't change. And they have nothing beyond this world. But with patience is always connected in Scripture with hope. And so the Thessalonians were told to have that patience of hope. They did in the first epistle, but wrong doctrines came in. In the second epistle, error came in, and they lost that hope. Well, may that hope shine brightly in our hearts, brethren, that we might be like Mephibosheth, strangers here, outcast it might be, misunderstood certainly by the world. We wouldn't expect them to understand our motives. If they do, we're not walking with God. And the world in its hostility toward the Lord Jesus, it shouldn't dry up our springs of love for them. we should still present the gospel of God's grace to all that we meet, because that's why the Lord hasn't come, to steal souls to be saved. Well, may the Lord bless these few feeble thoughts to our hearts this afternoon.